Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. In his message titled, The Jesus Tribe, Reverend David Williams tells us that the foundation of Christmas is God's love and His willingness to give it freely to everyone. Even though we easily think only of ourselves, Jesus challenges us to love our neighbor and our enemy. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we gathered over there in Spear Hall and we watched the story told, it was a good reminder of how far we can wander from the purpose of this season, because it feels like it is all busyness. It is busyness at the malls, and if we can't get to the malls, well, we've got our laptop and Amazon and all the different things that we get to do, and we bustle around thinking gifts and presents and gifts and presents and presents and gifts, and what am I getting and what am I giving, And in the midst of all of that, in the midst of our pursuit of desire and expectation, we forget the heart of the season. It's easy to forget it in the bustle. And so now let's admit that even as our children reminded us, hey, this is why we're doing it, it's still over the course of that next week, this week that is to come, it will be so easy for that to wander away from us. Let's confess that we all feel that temptation. Let's do so using the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying. Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, the message we get over and over again from our world is that it's all about us. Our society offers us the fulfillment of our every desire. It tells us we should get everything we want. It creates in us the expectation that our every hunger, desire, and passion should be fulfilled right now. In the face of that, Jesus challenges us. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Turn yourself to acts of love and service. In the sparkle and sign of our consumption-obsessed society, that's so easy to forget. In Christ, please help us remember. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us.
Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading will be drawn from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48. You can follow along on page 5 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's word. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's a peculiar thing, a strange paradox, that here we stand, getting ready to enter 17 years, 17th year of the 21st century, and here we are, human beings, and never in human history have we been more connected with the ability to communicate instantaneously with almost everyone, almost everywhere, and yet, I don't know if ever in human history people have felt more atomized, more isolated from one another. That isolation comes so easily, even in the face of all of the 27 different ways that we can be in touch with one another. I can call you, I can text you, I can message you on about 12 different services. I can send you like one of those little Twitter things or a Facebook thing, and maybe there's some way, I don't even know how Snapchat works, but maybe I could do that if someone explained it to me. And yet even with all that connection, we are still so separate from one another. We don't feel woven up or part of the same thing. I read an interesting little book on human connectedness recently. It was a book written by journalist Sebastian Junger. Junger, who gave us the book and the movie and the term The Perfect Storm, is someone who is fascinated by human relationship and meaning, and so I didn't read The Perfect Storm because I found the movie too traumatic as it was. It's like, oh, this is so stressful. What I read instead was his book from this last year, a book called Tribe, on homecoming and belonging. And Junger argues throughout the book that what we human creatures find the most fulfillment in are in those clan or tribe-sized gatherings that defined most of our history. He argues, with a little bit of quoting of biologists, that we're kind of wired for that. We are wired for gatherings of intimacy, and that modern culture, industrial and post-industrial culture, sabotages and subverts that basic need in us as our connections become mediated by all sorts of different other things get commodified. He notes that most people don't have those places, as tribes of natural affinity are broken and rebroken as individual human beings are shunted from place to place like industrial bees moved around in beehives, gradually feeling more and more lost. Junger says we struggle to develop that sense of connection to place and the relationships that come from place, and that as we move from task group to task group, from one new job to another, from one new town to another, from one faceless suburb to another, the relationships, the rootedness that give us our sense of identity as a person in relation to other people, that just doesn't form. In organic communities where our faces are known and our stories are part of everyone else's story, those get harder and harder to come by, even as their absence leaves us uncertain of our place. And so Junger goes deep in this little book into the solidarity that arises in small groups. And it's an interesting book because Junger was most of his career a war correspondent. And so he finds himself particularly drawn to how small groups give identity in times of conflict, in times of crisis. For Junger, what gives groups their deepest cohesion is when they experience existential threat, like a band of brothers standing against an enemy, or a community experiencing the trauma of war, which he wrote about at great length as he wrote about the communities in Sarajevo as they lived through that time of violence. In those contexts, the shared crucible of human struggle unites a group with a sense of common purpose that is born of both intimacy and intense crisis. That struggle of the tribe to survive, Younger argued, is a necessary part of the human condition. It was a fascinating book, but as I read through it, filled with stories of war and violence and opposition, I wondered if Younger might be missing out on other ways we gather, other forms of tribe and organic community. I found myself wondering whether he would have the patience to interpret what it means to be part of a book group, for example. I don't see him sitting there writing this exciting book about it. Or maybe what it means just to pick something totally at random to be part of a little church in a small town. Life in Poolsville isn't quite like life in Sarajevo, unless things get really different here after I leave. That sense of connection and organic community, of finding a tribe, is a vital part of our connectedness. And as we listen to Jesus today again from the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about what connects us with others, both affirming the tribal identity of a people that he was part of, but also going further into the essence of what he taught and how the way he lived both established connection and forced humankind to consider a different way of being together. Today's passage continues that passage of opposition that we've been hearing over the course of the last couple of weeks, with Jesus starting out saying, "You have heard that it was said," and then laying out fundamental laws of Torah, and then taking it to the next level with a, "But I tell you." And so he gets into talk of what it means for a community to be just and balanced, and then what it means for a community to love one another. And so he starts out with that familiar saying, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And it's not a random saying. It's written into Torah over and over again. It's in Exodus 21:24, Leviticus 24:20, in Deuteronomy 19:21, all there in the heart of the law of the Jewish people. And we always hear that, and we hear it through the lenses, oh, I don't know, of Gandhi. You know, we imagine a world where we are all eyeless and toothless, interpreting it as revenge, pure and simple and sweet, the you hit me, I hit you back kind of way. The justice, I don't know, of my household when my parents weren't looking and my brother was bothering me. But the real meaning of this saying is different. The intent of purpose of that saying is not revenge, but justice. Meaning, if someone harms you, the only thing you were supposed to seek, if it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, is balance. Not anger. Not revenge as it burns hot in us. Not taking more than you are due. That was its intent. And it is hard for us to hear because it's put in those physical terms, put in terms of lex talionis, the idea that what the state is meant to do is to take from another what has been removed from an aggrieved, permitting you through the law to hurt someone in exactly the same way you were hurt. And we tend to commodify that now as our culture involves us suing each other over all sorts of different things. And lex talionis does make it harder for us to hear that. I mean, if we think about the case that is now legend of the woman who sued McDonald's, you remember that one, you know, because she dumps the coffee in her lap and it's ha ha. We don't live in that world now. Lex talionis would I don't know, it would have been made, the life of the CEO of McDonald's considerably more unpleasant were that the way we did things. But the intent is not physical. The idea is you don't poke out two eyes for one. You don't take revenge to its natural extent, which is not just to seek balance, but to destroy. Justice, as presented in that passage of Torah, was balance and fairness, and Jesus recognizes that that's not enough. That doesn't bring healing. It doesn't create reconciliation. If you want that to happen, if you want the affirmative grace of the kingdom to be present, you have to tip that balance to the side of grace. You have to act differently. And that is true even for those who seem to be taking more from you than is right. You need to pour out grace, not your coffee, into their lap. The goal is not revenge, but restoration as it comes when you extend grace to another, not seeking your own interest. That is a different form of community, a different form of justice. Then Jesus goes on and gets into friendship, gets into those bonds of personal connection in verses 43 through 48 that are the cement of any healthy community. Throughout Torah, there was a commandment: love your neighbor. Love those who are near you. Love those who are part of your community. Love those who are part of your tribe. Care for your kin, care for your friends, care for those close to you who are in need. And that is the care of the tribe and of the people, the care of human beings. And it's a fundamental part of what it means to be human, in good times and in bad. And it's not negative. But Jesus finds that he must take that further because he knows what human beings are like when you get us together. Because everyone has friends, people we like, people who like us, people who are like us. Everyone has that. It is our nature to like those with whom we feel fundamental connection. And those are the people we look out for, but not necessarily the people we need to care for, because that is easy. And in all of these passages, Jesus challenges us to go past what is most easy and natural and into that place of the kingdom. Jesus says, sure, everybody can do that, but he challenges his hearers not just to love their tribe, but to be a tribe oriented towards love of those outside of the boundaries of that way of relating. Caring for and showing grace to those who are completely different, to those who are the enemy. And there, as I read through Younger's book, I wondered how that related to the tribal structures he was defining. Here you have communities gathered together by common conflict. And yet what Jesus asks is for communities to gather based on mutual love, yes, but then taking that beyond, not just the love of each other, but even the love of those against whom our community feels a tension, feels a challenge. And that feels like it's gotten a lot harder lately. Because it's so easy in our world where we are given the opportunity to not know anyone who doesn't exactly agree with us. We can choose that if we want. And I think if you spend any time on social media, if you have Facebook friends with whom you might disagree rather fervently on things, it is so easy simply to delete them or to say, well, I'm just going to unfollow them so I never, ever have to hear another thing they say ever because they bug me. It is so easy now that our relationships are mediated to close ourselves into tribes that are such tight circles that we forget that we are meant to occasionally encounter people we disagree with, and that we are meant, if we are a Jesus tribe, to know that our call is to love them. Here in this season, as we move into that place where Jesus is born into the world to change it, a different sort of king, a different sort of guide for all of the tribes that gather around him, we are asked to remember that. If we're to be his disciples in this season, we have to listen to this core message and structure our lives and relationships and tribes as something that honors that message of grace and love, not just to those around us, but to those that God loves and who we imagine to be our enemies, even though God's love shines as bright on them as it does on us. Strive for that, and let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is, as our young folks showed us, it is a strange season. It's a season where we talk about the advent of a new way of being in which our individual selfishness and our collective selfishnesses are set aside so that a new way of life can be brought into the world, and it's a season that we celebrate by grabbing for us as much stuff as we can possibly get. There is an irony and a paradox there. It is peculiar. But as we listen to the words of Christ this morning, laying out our most fundamental responsiveness, our responsibility towards neighbor and those around us, we need to hear that as the foundation of this Christmas season. This a time when we are meant to show love to all and not to seek for ourselves. This a time when we are meant to break down the boundaries of tribe and other and to love others as surely as God's sun shines down on us all. In this season, in this next week, when I'm sure nobody has anything stressful or distracting that will get in the way between you and loving the person in front of you in traffic, or the person who can't quite seem to manage the line at wherever you happen to be shopping, or whoever, whatever person for Verizon or Comcast you have to call to, and suddenly you can't be in touch with people. In this season, when we are so stressed, and from our stress, so selfish and anxious, remember that our purpose this season is that deep, shattering compassion. Remember it, hold it, and act upon it, so that just as we anticipate that bright light on Christmas Eve, people can see that light of Christ in you. That is the purpose of this season. Let us walk into our stress-shimmering world and share that light with all. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.